Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I'm going to bring you a message called For Such a Time as This. And many of you would have heard that phrase before. It comes from the book of Esther, and we are going to go there today. We're going to go to the book of Esther. But before we get there, I just want to give you a little bit of context around what is happening in this scripture that we're about to read. So many of us would know that Esther was an orphan who was living in the nation of Persia. She was living with her older cousin Mordecai, who was caring for her. And they lived within this nation of Persia, along with many other Israelites who had been taken captive from their homeland, brought into this nation to live there forcibly. And as they lived there, they were kept suppressed, I guess, by the rest of those people that they were living amongst. And the story at the beginning of Esther is really about a series of events that take her from a place of living in obscurity to living in prominence, where she suddenly becomes the queen of Persia alongside the king. And in that position as queen, she obviously lives in the palace. And her cousin Mordecai, not able to come in, sits outside the gate day in, day out to hear news of what's happening with Esther. And as he's sitting there, he hears of this plan that is unfolding within the palace. And he sees that as this plan unfolds, that the king is about to make this decree, which will enable every Persian across the whole nation of Persia to rise up on a particular day, take up weapons, and kill every Jewish person in their community. So it's basically the annihilation of all the Jews that lived in Persia. And as he hears this news, he's horrified. And he sends news to Esther about what was going to happen, but also calling her to action. And he says to Esther, "Esther, you need to go before the king and you need to plead for your people that they will be saved." And this is Esther's response back to Mordecai in chapter 4, verse 11. She says, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live." So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther's fear for her own life in this situation was real. If she went before the king uninvited, he could command that she be put to death. And Mordecai knew the thoughts that would be going through Esther's head in this moment. As he called her to action, he knew that she would be thinking that this assignment is too hard. He knew that she would be thinking that this assignment was too challenging. She might even be wishing that this assignment would be given to someone else, or that the assignment being given to her by God in this moment would be something else. And I don't know about you, but maybe you are a little like me, or maybe a little like Esther, and that often when I look around at the unbelievers in my world, or I look around at the community that I'm in, and I look around at the lost people that I have the opportunity to speak to, I can look at them and I can look at the situations they're in, and I can think that this assignment to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people in my world is too hard. I can start to think that the responsibility I have here is too much, and I could wish that it was on someone else. Or I wish that the assignment that God has given me would be something else, because I think the people in my world are too hard to reach, or that the breakthroughs that they need are too hard to outwork. And you know, if we continue down the track of that kind of thinking or that kind of approach, then we will start to restrain ourselves in our ability to share the gospel with others, right? Or we could even face the risk of becoming completely silent in face of that overwhelming sense of responsibility. But what we forget and what Mordecai so wisely realized that Esther would have the potential to forget is that God had been intentional to position Esther for where she was. That God had been intentional to place her in the palace, and in the same way, God has been intentional to place you where you are for such a time as this. It's no mistake that you find yourself here on Sunday, the 24th of March, here in Myrie campus. It is no mistake. For some of you, this area is where you've been born and bred, right? Actually, let's put some hands up. Hands up if you have been born and raised in Perth. Come on. All right, we see those hands. Awesome. Hand up if you have ended up positioned here in Perth because you were moved interstate. Hand up if that was you. That's me. Yeah, we've got quite a few hands. Hand up if you've ended up coming here from overseas. God has positioned you here. Yeah, wow, amazing. So many people, incredible. And hand up, maybe you may not want to admit this, but maybe you're here and you're from north of the river today. Is that you? Oh, yeah, come on. Let's put our hands for our northies. We love you. So great to have you here with us today. Beautiful. Hey, no matter where you are from, no matter how you got here, whether you've been here for years or you've been here for 5 minutes, God has positioned you here. And if He has positioned you here, He has a plan for you here. He has a plan for you here. And I'm sorry to break this to you, but the plan that God has for your life, the plan that He desires to outwork in your life, is rarely, in fact, it never is only about you. Hard to hear, right? It's not just about you finding your purpose. It's not just about you having a deeper revelation of who God is. It's not just about that. His plan for Esther in the palace was not about setting her up for a good time hanging out with the royal family. His plan was for her to intervene in the destiny of the Jewish people. In the same way, His plan for you is not just to position you in your workplace to earn a good wage. It's not just to position you in that business so that you can develop and grow something. He's not just positioned you in that university or that TAFE to get good results and make some friends. His plan is not just to position you in that playgroup or that sport club or that cultural club to do the things that you do there. He has positioned you there to reach the lost in your world. He has positioned you there so that you can intentionally intervene in the destinies of the people that God has placed you with. And even more so, His plan is not that we would all be positioned here in church just so that we can come and worship the Lord together, sit on the comfy seats, catch up with our friends, have a nice coffee. His plan is that collectively as His church and as His body, that we would reach the lost in our worlds. That is His plan. He has intentionally positioned you. He has intentionally positioned me. He's intentionally positioned all of us to reach the lost in our worlds for such a time as this. This is who we are, and this is what we've been called to do. And Peter speaks into this. He speaks into who we are. He speaks into what we are called to do in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, "For you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." This is who we are, and this is what we have been called to do. Peter uses these four concepts to explain who we are. They are all names that were used in the Old Testament by God in reference collectively to the Israelite people. And Peter takes these four names from the Old Testament and he uses them to speak to the new believers who were part of the New Testament church that were made up of Jews and Gentiles to say to them, this is who you are. that as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, this is who you are. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are His own special people. And as people who are believers today, who are part of the New Testament church, this is who we are. This is who we are. And Peter uses these terms to emphasize the privileges that we have as believers. There is so much that we could say about these terms. But very simply put, when he says we are God's chosen people, he's saying that we are called to fulfill God's plan and purpose. When he says we are a royal priesthood, he's saying we are people who have access to God. Come on, do you believe this today? When he says we are a holy nation, he says we are governed by God. We live under the influence of his kingdom. When he says we are his own special people, he's saying God dwells with us and moves amongst the community of believers. This is who we are. And these are the privileges that we have as Christians today. We are these people. This is who we are. And these privileges, just like the privileges that Esther was living in the palace, they are intentional. These are the privileges that we are released into when we choose to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. These are the privileges won for us when He died and He rose again. And these privileges have been intentionally given to us. We've been released into them so that we can bring the gospel message to the lost in our worlds. This is what Peter was talking about. He says that these privileges are given to us so that we can proclaim the praises of our God. This is why we live in these privileges today, so that we can proclaim His praises, so that we can make Him known. So that we can make Him known. This is why we live in those privileges today, so that every person within the sound of our voice, within the sound of your voice, wherever that may be, may hear the praises of your God. You know, I remember when I first started to go and see my hairdresser and having a revelation that God had intentionally positioned me in her life for this reason. And that feels uncomfortable. I got to be honest. It was a bit like, oh, seriously. So I'm usually the kind of person who will try and share Jesus with somebody perhaps at a checkout or something like that. You know, you walk up to the checkout, you start to chat with them while they're putting your groceries through, and if there's kind of an opening, might take the opportunity to share that Jesus loves them, or even maybe get to pray for them, and then it's like, God bless you and I'm on my way. You know, nobody spends very long at the checkout, right? But I spend a couple of hours with my hairdresser. And I got foils in my hair. I look like something from outer space. And God has called me to proclaim the praises of my God to her. And while we are having these kinds of conversations, sometimes there are long pauses. There are awkward moments. And she asks me challenging questions. But while it may be uncomfortable or challenging, I believe that I'm called into her life for such a time as this. And I believe I will see her and her family come to salvation. Because I am one of God's people. I know this of myself, that I am someone who has purpose in God. That I have access to Him. I'm governed by His kingdom. I'm one with whom God dwells. And I'm that person, not so that I can sit in an appointment and have superficial conversations. I'm not that person so that I can sit there for 2 hours with her every few weeks, you knowing way too much about my personal life now, and not go deeper than surface level about who I am and who I know God has called her to be. that she also is somebody who has purpose in God. She's also somebody who can have access to Him, with whom God desires to dwell, who wants to bring her under the influence of His kingdom. That is who she is. And she will not know that unless I make His praises known. She will not know that unless I make Him known to her and allow her to understand all that she has in Him. Like Esther, I haven't been positioned to enjoy all the privileges of the palace, but instead intervene for the deliverance of people in my world. And the same is for you. So who are the people that God has called you to influence today? Who are the people that God's called you to make God known to? Who are the people that God has called you to get a little uncomfortable with? Who are the people that God has positioned you alongside so you can have those kinds of conversations that sometimes have long pauses, that sometimes they will respond to you with challenging questions? Who are those people? Maybe it's somebody you work alongside. Maybe it's somebody in your home or in your street. God has intentionally positioned you there in their world for such a time as this, so you can proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, in Matthew 28, it records the parting words of Jesus that He delivered to His disciples. We know this is the Great Commission. And this Great Commission still stands for us today. It says in verse 18 that Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Many of the people who first heard these words from Jesus were part of the great move of God that birthed the early church. These people saw thousands and thousands of people saved. Sometimes in one day, they saw miracles, they saw signs, and they saw wonders, but they also experienced the most intense persecution that the Christian church has ever seen. And just as the disciples were called to reach the lost under that persecution, and Esther was called into challenging circumstances to intervene in the destiny of her people, so too are we called to intervene in the destinies of the lost, no matter how challenging or how uncomfortable it may seem. The Great Commission, it doesn't take a back seat in God's priorities when things get challenging, right? It doesn't suddenly become a lesser priority to God because we feel a little uncomfortable. It doesn't go to the bottom of the basket or the back of the line because we are finding life a little bit challenging. The Great Commission is the heart of God, that He would see that none would perish, but that all would have eternal life. You see, the fulfillment of the Great Commission does not require great circumstances. All it was dependent on was that final line spoken by Jesus, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, Jesus promised to be present. He promised to be close to those who would step out to fulfill the Great Commission. This is what we need as we share our faith. This is what you need as you take that Easter invitation today and you give it to somebody in your workplace or that person that you always see at the shops. This is what we need. We need the power and the presence of God. You see, the fulfillment of the Great Commission is dependent on us carrying the presence of Jesus, carrying His Holy Spirit into our world. Because you see, God sends us to do what only He can do. This is why it seems uncomfortable. This is why it seems impossible at times, because in our own strength it is. We can't change lives. We can't transform hearts. We can't bring the breakthrough, but His presence can. In fact, His presence does. His presence does transform the hearts of people and brings them into places of breakthrough that they would never experience any other way. We see a great example of the power of the presence of God in the words of Zechariah. This was, Zechariah was a prophet, and he spoke these words to a man called Zerubbabel, who was tasked to rebuild the temple. After 16 years of trying to overcome obstacles and delays, Zerubbabel had made very little progress. And then Zechariah comes to him with this prophetic picture of what God wants to do. And he says this in Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain." In this text, the Lord is saying that the breakthrough Zerubbabel is going to experience is not going to be dependent on any human strength or resource, that it was going to come through the power and the presence of God. And this is what I want to suggest to you today. I want to suggest to you today that perhaps there have been people that you have been believing for, and that you've been praying for, and that you've been standing in the gap for. You've been talking to them about Jesus. You've been inviting them to church, and there's been obstacle after obstacle. There's been delay after delay. There's just been resistance that you keep hitting up against. What you need to know today is that the breakthrough that's going to come in their life is not going to come through any human strength or human resource. It's going to come through the power of the presence of God flowing through you and impacting their lives. And you know what? I saw this picture of someone who was trying to build, someone who was trying to create, someone who was trying to make things happen, and being frustrated at those obstacles and being frustrated at those delays. And it reminded me of a time when Mark and I had made a decision many years ago to stop following the Lord, to stop going to church. And praise the Lord that He never gives up on us, right? And towards the end of that season, as I made a decision to come back to church and I found faith again, Mark hadn't made that decision yet. And I remember one day driving in the car to church and crying out to God on my way to church because Mark hadn't come with me again. And in that moment, God spoke to me and He said, "You just do what I have called you to do, and I will take care of the rest. I will take care of him." And you know, in Psalm 46:10, the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." And that word, "be still," means to loosen your grip. It means to relax your hold. And you see, the Lord had been saying this to me because I'd prayed about it, and I would invite him to church and I would talk to him about Jesus. But then I was also manipulating, and I was controlling the situation. I would put it in God's hands and then I would take it back. And I would go to church and I would meet someone and I would think, hey, if he just met that person, I know everything would change. And I would try and organize a catch up and make all these things happen. And I was getting nowhere. Nothing was happening. You see, sometimes we need to let God be God. Sometimes we need to allow Him to move in those situations and draw people to Him. Yes, we need to keep loving those people. We need to keep inviting them. We need to keep sharing the gospel. We need to keep proclaiming the praises of God. But we also need to trust that His presence and His power will come in and draw those people to Him, that it will change hearts, that it will bring them to salvation. You see, this is one of the reasons why we so value times of encounter here at Nations Church, because we don't want to be a people who are overcome by the obstacles. We don't want to be a people who are overcome by the challenges or that sense of responsibility because we are relying on our own strength. We want to be a people who know how to lean in to the presence and the power of God and see Him work a miracle in our life and see Him bring that mountain and reduce it to a plain so that we can see that breakthrough come in every situation, in the salvation of the lives of those who are in our worlds who don't yet know Jesus. You see, Jesus knew the power of the Holy Spirit's presence as He ministered on earth. He said this about Himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." You see, Jesus knew the power of the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And this anointing and this presence is available to you today. When the Lord declared the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was recorded like this in Scripture. He said, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." That word "all" means all. It doesn't mean everyone but you. It doesn't mean the person on the left of you and the right of you, but not you. It doesn't mean the worship team, but not you. It doesn't mean your pastor or your connect leader, but not you. All means all. All means all. It doesn't matter where you are, where you're from, what you've done, where you've been. All means all. I lived a long time as a Christian without knowing the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. That he was completely and totally available to me, that the God wanted to pour him out on me. And when I began to hear about him, when I began to know about him, I was pretty sure that never was going to happen for me. I had counted myself out of being impacted by his presence. I counted myself out because of my past, because of dumb things that I'd done. I'd counted myself out because I hadn't believed in him or known about him, because I held a different theology. And then one day, I met with my mum, who, in the time that we'd been apart, had become a born-again, Holy Spirit-filled, Pentecostal believer. And when she prayed with me, I felt the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, I'd counted myself out, but he had counted me in. He counted me in to live my life with his presence. And he's counted you in too. All means all. His presence is available to you today, that you can lean into it, that you can lean into him. And when you go to your workplace tomorrow, when you walk into the schoolyard, when you walk into that uni class, when you walk into your home, when you walk down your street, when you go to see your hairdresser, the presence of God goes with you too. He said, "I will be with you to the end of the age." It's not ended yet.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.